Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Random. Berto Willis, the host. Thank you so kind of for being part of the show. We're going to have a great show for you today. Brrrr, James P. She says, hey, peeps. Hey, folks, listen. Alistair Waters is our kind of woman. Listen to what she says. Greetings, everyone. Listening only as I change out my tire. Wow. You know what? I hate changing tires. That's a tough job. especially in the hot sun of Texas, the heat of Texas, and she lives right around the corner from me. Alistair Waters, kudos, girlfriend. Kudos, kudos, kudos. And of course, AVQ with us today. Bree says, good for you, Alistair Waters. Anyway, how you guys doing today? Welcome aboard, welcome aboard, welcome aboard. Eric Hayes is in the house. Here's some stuff from CNN reporting. Real news. What is about? You know, you put here is something report. Put a little snippet and tell us what it's about, brother. Come on, man. You see what? Anyway, let's get busy. Michael Rudnin says, just catching up. Been away for the better part of the weekend. Yeah, you have. Michael Rudnin also says, Newsweek, full list of 192 House Republicans who voted against FDA baby formula. We need to tag that. Republicans are so far off the parliamentary spectrum that they would rather make people's lives worse just to blame it on Biden for their own political ends than actually govern in any meaningful way for the public good. That's true. Continuing, U.S. News, House passes bill to crack down on gasoline price gouging. Does it really have a supermajority popular polling yet? Kim Schreier, Washington Democratic representative who co-hosts the bill, said at the time when people across the country are feeling a pinch of the gas pump, Congress needs to do something that bring costs for families down. She called it infuriating that spikes in gas prices were happening at the same time that gas and oil companies are making record profits and taking advantage of the international crisis. Again, this is just a way to pick your pockets. And for all of those people who are saying or trying to blame Biden or blame government for what's going on in with the gas prices, look at the balance sheets. They are taking your money because they can. As Dr. Richard Wolff, professor, the economist that I interviewed a few weeks ago, they are picking your pockets because they can. And if you continue to defend them, any of you who are defending them right now, any of you who are defending oil company pricing right now, claiming supply and demand, you are being hoodwinked. There is not a supply problem of oil in as much as a lot of Russian oil is off the field. Because I tell you what, Russian oil is still getting bought by India, China. Iran oil is sitting in the Gulf. Venezuela oil is sitting. Look, if we really wanted to do something about it and not allow these oil companies to kill us, we could. It's a matter of resolve. But when we have those of you who will defend what the oil companies are doing right now and defend a policy of leaving all this stuff floating on the oceans because we don't like Hugo Chavez's replacement, Nicolai Maduro, or because the Iranian. Look, we need to grow up as a society. Remember, everything that we're doing are allowing our pockets to be picked by the oil companies, by the food companies, etc. There is no shortages. This is a ripoff, a manufactured ripoff, folks. Sorry about that. Jamie Henn tweeted, the House just passed a bill going after big oil price gouging and profiteering. This is a great first stop. Now to passing a big oil windfall profit tax. They're not going to do it unless they know that we're going to penalize them if they don't. Reuters analysis, neutral with Switzerland, leans closer to NATO. Membership in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This is a country who stayed out of wars for over 200 years, including both world wars. So now we have Sweden, we have Sweden, Finland, and now Switzerland. Wow, that is going to infuriate these guys. You know what? Well, that's for another topic. CDC puts 87% of the New York counties, including whole city, high COVID risk, daily cases top 11,000. The CDC says 54 of New York's 62 counties are now at high risk for community COVID spread. That number has more than doubled. And welcome, AVQ, Alistair Waters, Eric Hayes. Eric says, Egberto, please tell me what this guy is doing. You think Orange Man was bad at foreign policy? Decisions look this, and I would ask you to agree. This guy thinks he is powerful and can just keep doing this kind of thing. What are you talking about? Are you talking about saying that if China invades Taiwan, that what the United States would do? Look, I am not a war person, right? But I mean, if Orange Man had said that, which he has said many a times, by the way, you guys would have been loving it. But because Biden said it, now you don't. You somehow think, oh, it's crazy to start a war. I think they are all neoliberals or neocons who love war because it supplies the defense industrial complex. Okay, so you're not going to see me defending Bush or defending Biden, defending any of these guys that always push for war. All right. So no, and as far as whether they invade Taiwan or not, you know, look, we went ahead and laid our basket into having all our chips and all these things come from elsewhere. Maybe it's time to start repatriating a whole lot of these things, and not only repatriating them, but change the concept of capitalism so that during repatriation, given that prices will be higher, because guess what? Manufacturing in the United States should be paying a living wage. We mitigate that by adjusting our economic system in such a manner that we have something called basic income, and that we ensure that everybody stays at a baseline, and the extraordinarily obscene profits that are going to the top are mitigated. After all, there are just a few of them, and there's a hell of a lot of us. Okay? And people say, oh, then innovation would stop. Our plutocrats innovate nothing. Nothing. People like you and me innovate, and they capitalize on innovation, and they profit immensely off our innovation. So the lie that people tell is like, oh, innovation requires those capitalists. You just don't understand. All right. How does ESG rating wokeness downgrade the most common successful EV company in the world? Politics via Musk buying Twitter and saying he is fed up and voting Republican? Maybe yes. Ah, that's a joke. Look, that guy is a joke. People like to worship him because in America, listen to what's respected in America. You are able to screw people over and pick their pockets as long as you are wearing a suit, a tie, and have the right hue, you are powerful. Look at even the Orange Man, that they're scared to really put him where he belongs, in jail. There is a set of folk in this country that gets a pass of doing evil, gets a pass in ripping you off, gets a pass in stealing from you. We can change that, though. It's all up to us to change it, and we can. That's why I do what I do. Carl Cox says, great interview. If I do say so myself, I interviewed Carl Cox, and we'll be playing Carl Cox interview as the first interview today. So Carl Cox, you did well. Michael Rudnan, as it comes to gas prices, they're up around the world while corporations are making record profits. That's the bald fact of it. But there is no shortage, is what I'm trying to get across, my brothers and sisters. Don't listen to the lies on TV. We are abound in petroleum if we wanted to burn the sucker. The thing is, our political machinations are preventing us from doing it, and the oil companies are happy with it because they continue to keep their resource that they've mined, our resource that they've mined and stolen. They can keep more of it and then release it at high prices, huge margins, and the results are in their balance sheets. The results are in their buyback of stocks. The result is in the dividends that they make. And we can stop it. Lee Grant says, hey, from FV jail, told the truth and got suspended. What did you tell the truth about, senor? Put it inside of, let me hear what you wrote. You can put it in YouTube. They're not going to kick you off there. Lee Grant, betting your truth would rate false with the fact checkers. Come on, Lee's your brother, man. Let's be a little nicer with Lee. Lee, but I bet it's a lie. Peggy Lopez says, hi all, Carl Cox. I also am a military brat. Saw your interview. Good on you. Let's see what else you got here. E2247 says a nearly unanimous vote to provide about $40 billion in U.S. to Ukraine is trapped in the debt spiral of unchecked militarism. But what else is of importance, dear brother, is how easy it was to pass $9 billion, or rather, $40 billion. Look, Biden asked for $33 billion. That was an exorbitant amount already. And the Congress then added another $9 billion for war. And supposedly to help out feeding and so forth, right? But it's mostly war. And by the way, for all those who think all that money is leaving the United States of America, no, it's going into the plutocrats' pocket. Here's how it goes. The Ukraine gets a $40 billion, take a $40 billion bite out of the American taxpayers. And then that is used by the Ukrainians to buy American military equipment. Who sells American military equipment again? The plutocrats. Then they go ahead and that profit goes directly into the pockets of the plutocrats, the American plutocrats, right? They buy the F-16s, they buy the howitzers, and they buy all these equipments, and that money stays in the United States. Yeah, it employs a few people, but the profits of that go to them. Oh, and they're gonna do food too, right? Yeah. They're gonna buy food. You think they're gonna buy the food from the American farmers? American farmers, listen up. This message is for you. If you think the aid that's going to be going to them as food, etc., is coming from your barns, forget it. Roberto Luis, if he's on, can tell you what they did in Iraq. They signed these contracts and they hire cheap labor from India, Vietnam, and all these places. I don't know Vietnam, I know India. And then they buy the food on the cheap from these places and then bring them into the fold. So the plutocrat makes money by spending a little bit of it and pocketing it. Understand it, brothers and sisters. Understand the system. Understand how we are screwed. Let's see what we got here. Great. We'll talk about. I just got a text from my brother, Tim Danahy. We got to talk, Tim. Let's talk tonight. Give me a call if you can, or I'll give you a call, sir. I'd love to do that. I could. Yes, we can compromise in areas. I agree. We won't talk, brother. You know what? Maybe you should be the next PDR posse. Although we've done you like three or four times, but we love you, man. Great supporter, brother Danahy. Great supporter. All right, continuing. U.S. Let's see. No high-speed trains. No universal health care. No viable COVID relief program. No respite from 8.3% rate. No infrastructure programs to repair decaying roads. But we got $40 billion. Actually, let me correct that, sir. We've got $53 billion because before that was $13 billion. We're now at 40 extra 40 billion. 13 plus 40, 53 billion. That's what we're talking about, folks. That's what we're talking about. No addressing income inequality. You're correct. Eric Hayes says, put the current one where he belongs. Maybe they could be cellies. Well, no, I don't think they're comparable at all. But if you think they're comparable, may I suggest some reading? E2247 says no minimum wage of $15. You're correct. Eric Hayes doesn't know what the inflation going right now is worldwide. Compare U.S. prices to other nations, you'll see the difference. The only country that's not seeing inflation is China due to price controls. I like price controls because inflation is a way for the plutocrats to pick your pocket legally. Right? That's one for bifurcated economy. Bifurcated economy. What you think about Biden bragging on something I can't deliver on via Taiwan? Oh no, we can always deliver war. Don't you ever think we can't? We can always deliver war. Hayes also says Egberto knows all on the diesel costs causing issues on products and formula. Of course, but who is to blame for the price of diesel? There is no shortage. You want to blame somebody? Blame the plutocrats. Come on, man. Stop being hoodwinked by the oil companies. All right. Do you agree with us sending money we don't have to Ukraine? I believe in doing what we need to do to survive. Okay. And money is fungible. and money is a figment of your imagination based on the trust that people have on whether or not you will be successful as an economy. There you go. But it's hard for people to understand that because they think, oh, the dollar is tagged to something. Oh, let's tag the dollar to a piece of gold. What the hell can you do with a piece of gold? If you have the dollar, okay, we are going to tag the dollar to a gold, to a precious metal. What makes that metal precious? That you can do something with it. But if we are in a world pandemic or if we're in a world famine, that gold means nothing. You know what means something then? Corn. You know what means something then? Wheat. A piece of gold doesn't mean a damn thing. And that is where you are fooled all of the times about the value of things, right? We are so fooled. All right, Brother Bruce is here. Learned a lot about privilege from South American natives. Yep. I tell you something. There's something that Daniel Cohen did, a piece. Now, after I played, I have some words to mention about that as well. Eric says, you will blame instead of taking responsibility. How can you take responsibility for something that you're not culpable of? Again, for you to take responsibility for a crime or for anything, you have to be culpable. Anyway, let's get started with interview by Brother Cox. I think you guys will enjoy. Here we go. Welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis. Today, we have the honor of speaking to one of our listeners. Like I tell everybody on Politics Done Right, the PDR posse, has a voice. And Carl Cox demanded that he had a voice. So without further ado, let me introduce you guys to one of our PDR posse members, Carl Cox. Carl, how are you doing today?
Fine.
Well, Carl, I think sometimes you're in the room and we sort of have a little bit of progressive friction. And why I call it progressive friction is that many times I think some of our progressives in the room want us to be a bit more aggressive. Take it away.
I don't necessarily think that you or your PDR posse need to be more aggressive. I just get frustrated with, like I said, the leadership of the Democratic Party, that they're not, don't seem to be, you know, going out there. As much as I dislike the conservatives, whether it be the Republicans or the two Democrats, is they're willing to fight for what they believe in and all like this. And really, they're selling us down the river, so to speak. But the leadership of the Democratic Party, they won't go out there. Like I said, you have Sanders and Warren will fight from the Senate, so to speak. But you don't see Schumer doing that much. And you don't see Pelosi doing that much in the as far as on the congressional side. I think part of it, the problem is that they're both more concerned with their whether their donors and all like that. I mean, the one time that stopped letting the congressional people all getting inside information, inside praying, which if you and I did, we'd go to prison for it. And then they bought it back and Pelosi doesn't want to discuss it. And I think that's part of the problem. I think if you have somebody like a Sanders, AOC, or like that, who's not in it for the money, they're in it strictly for the good of all the people, not just the mega rich and all and mega corporations, I think we do a much better job, but they're going to have to fight for it.
I think what you just said is magical, and I think it's also important because here's the deal, Carl, and this is what I try to get across on our program. It is important for exactly the reason that you said. In other words, we have to ensure that it's not the moneyed interests that are taken care of, but everybody. If everybody gets taken care of, the moneyed interest also gets taken care of. But the issue is we have a group of folk, the folks on the right, I'm talking about the regular average American citizen on the right, that are culturally Republican, that pretty much sold their souls to those people on the right taking them down the river. And we don't have an establishment Democratic Party, as you would say before, that is out there fighting for us as, let's say, Sanders or AOC or the others would. So my question to you is as follows, and I want to posit it this way, because I think some of the frustrations that I see in some of the things that you voice online is that you tend to believe we coddle folks on the right too much, give them too much of a break when they are doing a hell of a lot of damage, not only to themselves, but to others. Did I read that correctly?
Yes, I agree with you.
Now, if I read that correctly, let me ask you this way. You're a smart person. You understand everything. But do you believe there are people that could be snowed, people that could be that could fall for misinformation? And then I want to tell you a quick little story.
Yes, I do believe. I believe, unfortunately, that there are too many people that are doing that. I mean, the mega people are the worst a lot, but there are so many that not, you know, I wouldn't consider, you know, Trump supporters, hardcore, anything like that. But I think there are too many people that if you keep telling them the same lie over and over and over again, they don't think for themselves and realize that they're voting for Trump and his people. They're really just voting for the destruction of them and their families.
I agree with you. So I don't have all the answers. I don't think you have all the answers. I don't think everybody have all the answers. But what I do know is that I believe in people's humanity, right? I believe that I can speak to you, and no matter what kind of a friction we have among each other, that there are always ways to get around it, right? Because again, ultimately we're human beings, and I not only that, but we are all on the same team. If we don't allow people to divide us, we're pretty much on the same team. So I used to listen. I do all kind of experiments with myself, okay? And I once spent a week listening to Rush Limbaugh, so you know how long ago that was. And I tell you one thing, Carl, believe it or not, some of the things Rush Limbaugh were saying repetitively, some of the analyses that he did, which deep inside I know was wrong, started to rub off on me for that week until I caught myself, because it's well engineered. So my question to you then is, if it could happen to me, and by the way, I was able to overcome that really quickly, right? If it could happen to me, I don't know if you have put yourself in the place for it to happen to you or not, but it has happened to me where I have allowed myself to go down the rabbit hole but pull myself back out after listening to these guys for a while. Don't you think maybe we have to find some way to get to that other side? In as much as we know some of them think they don't want to change, like some of them in our room?
Yes, I agree with you. Several years ago, I don't recall the gentleman's name. He was on one of the local stations, and he wasn't as vicious as Limbaugh, but he could get there. And I listened to him for a while, and I started kind of believing, and this was back when Reagan became president.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit I made a mistake and voted for Reagan in 1980, but hey, that's a long time. Water under the bridge,
of course.
But anyway, but it didn't take me long to realize what he was saying. You know, forget him. And after listening to Rush Limbaugh one time, I knew there was no way I'd ever listen to him. I couldn't follow him because he was divisive, full of really venom. I mean, the way he made fun of I can't think of the gentleman that has the.
McCain?
No, the guy that did that show Family Ties and did Spencer.
Oh,
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael J. Fox. That was, no matter how much I dislike somebody, I would never do that. That's just cruel and immoral.
Right. Absolutely so. Well, let me tell you, Carl, I am glad that you know, you said you wanted to say your piece. I want to do more of these, you know, 5-10 minute segments with our posse and people that are there with the show. So what I want to ask you to do is tell our posse something coming directly from Carl Cox in the flesh.
What? Well, I have to ask you, what is it? Is my opinions on something?
You can tell me whatever you want. It's your show, brother.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I agree with you on most things, but there are two things I disagree with you on, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I'm not in favor of the legalization of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in favor for medical use. It's great stuff. It can do glaucoma, people that are suffering from cancer. But recreational use, even though they've got it set up where you can't get too much at a time, because the stuff they've got today is much more powerful than when I was growing up. And even more so is I disagree with the legalization of hard drugs. I know they can be taxed and all like this, but I'm afraid too many people that are afraid to use it now because it's against the law will eventually decide to go with it. And I've never tried stuff because no matter how bad my life is, and I've never been stupid enough to let somebody make money off of my misery. But there's no way you can keep from sooner or later you're going to get what you call it, hooked on it. And I'm especially afraid of pregnant women doing it or maybe messing with LSD, which they say if you use it once, you can still have bad, what do you call it, where you freak out. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I want to, before you give your final statement, Carl, on the drugs issue, I want to tell you that what we've been doing, in my opinion, hasn't worked. We have to agree to disagree on this one, and I don't have a problem wherever the voters want to go with this. I am for legalization and help. You may be for something else. And what I'm trying for us to understand as a whole, as a society, is we don't have to agree on everything at all.
I agree with that. What else I was going to say, though, is there are two things I think that would make a difference in without legalizing it. I think they've got to sit there and have all over the country, you have to have clinics where people can go to. And really, even more important than that, I think you have to do things, mental illness treatment. And I think something else is you have to set up where everybody, doesn't matter your race, your religion or lack of religion, your sexual orientation, your gender, any of that, people have to have hope that there's a better things are on the horizon. That if you work hard, you can get a good paying job. You can support yourself. If you have have a family, you can take care of them. You can enjoy life and all like that. And I think that's part of what's lacking in America now. This country, in my opinion, especially with people my age, goes out of its way to kill any enthusiasm for education or on the workforce. And it's not just as far as pay. It's, you know, treating the people with respect, and instead of, I've had several managers that were just outright bullies and all like this and acted like I was some kind of a moron. And you've got, and that to me is a major problem. If you give people a lot of hope and all like that, that their lives will get better, their children, and so on and so forth, I think that would make a big difference in the amount of drugs being used or people want to use stuff, especially like heroin or cocaine and stuff like that.
Brother Carl Cox, what would you have liked me to ask you that I didn't ask you?
Okay, to end this on a lighthearted note, why do we park on a driveway and drive on a parkway? And why do they call it chili when it's hot? Like a bowl of chili, you know, like chili, it's
yes,
chili outside.
I know, it's funny. That's funny. So you made a joke, Carl. Carl Cox, member of the Politics Done Right posse, and now a friend of mine. Thank you so kindly for having been on Politics Done Right. We're going to do more of these with more of the people in our posse, and I'm honored to have you on our program. Anyway, folks, don't forget, this is your show. And by the way, Carl Cox isn't the first person in our posse that's been on with us. We've had Bruce Pollard with us. We've had Norman Reynolds. We've had Roberto Lewis. We've had Tim Danahy, we've had, several others. Unfortunately, as I'm calling these people out, I'm trying to figure out, why aren't the women there? Which of the women have I interviewed now? Some of you have been on the PDR posse on our Ask Egberto Anything, but as far as being at the other side of this, I've interviewed a whole lot of activists, women, but our women in the posse, and you guys just about run the posse. Come on, guys, tell me which ones need to be, which ones are going to do what Carl just did there. As you can see, we simply have fun, and I just want to make sure that you guys know, not only is this your program, but you know, sometimes you're watching TV and like, I wanted to say this, or I wanted to get this out there. Everybody can get things out there on their own. We can give them a bigger platform to get things out. you're interested in having your word, just drop me a line. info@politicsandright.com. Egberto, put me on. And you're on, baby. All right, let's continue. And by the way, and this isn't just reserved for my progressive posse. This is reserved for my conservative posse too. And I promise you, check out all the conservatives that I've interviewed. I treat people with respect every single time. Anyway, you know, I don't think I played this one yet. I want to play a Chris Hayes piece. This is important, and then we'll take it on the other side. This is a perfect opportunity that shouldn't go unused.
You know, one of the amazing ironies here is that the big thing they did pass, right, the American Rescue Plan, you've got this bizarre situation, right? Every Republican votes against it in the U.S. Senate. Every Democrat votes for it. It gave all this money to the states who are now using the largesse from the federal government to dole out goodies while attacking the Democrats, right? So this is the Orlando Sentinel talking about Ron DeSantis, who's going around to events, cutting checks. We're proud we didn't do like Washington and spent money like a drunken sailor when all of a sudden you ended up with all these problems, he said at a recent event in Trenton, where he doled out federally funded grants. DeSantis never mentions the largesse his sharing comes from Washington. Instead, he attributes the money to Florida's strong economy. Democrats in this position are the worst of both worlds, which is the policy success they voted for that Republicans are opposed, local Republicans get to claim credit for.
Hey, exactly. We can't allow local Republicans to take credit for something that they completely voted against, for something that they claim was bad for us. But they're going around with their peeps and they're saying, hey guys, guess what we did for you? Guess what we've got for you? The hypocrisy of that. But we, you know, I see Bruce is in there and he says in the house. And anytime I see his picture, I always think about one thing because he likes to say the word, what again? Bruce, say it, Bruce. Solutions. Solutions is at the ballot box right now, but the right people at the ballot box. Let's see. Norman Reynolds says, hey, one, two, let's go. Our energy prices based on extraction behavior are driving forces behind all inflation worldwide. Imagine, based on extraction behavior, I think what you mean is by delaying extraction, by turning down extraction, by not extracting, or even saying, let's leave Venezuela oil and Iran oil because China is buying a lot of Russian oil on the cheap. India is buying a whole lot of Russian oil on the cheap. And before you really blame these guys for doing that, if America wants these guys, anybody that can get cheap oil, in fact, I would tell Panama right now, Panama is going through hell. The Petro in Panama is driving people mad. It's taking away the little income that they have. If I were the Panamanian government right now, I would go buy me a tanker of Russian oil at 10% on the dollar. And I tell you why. Because we are asking all the countries around the world, let's go ahead and fight against this ism that's coming from Russia. Right? But we never invest in these countries to make sure that they don't have to pay the inordinate amount of oil price on oil that our companies, our American companies, destroy them for. Panama, all that money is leaving Panama. All that money, if they don't buy Indian oil, I mean Russian oil, will be leaving India. These are countries that can't afford it as our American companies extract from them. And we're saying, don't buy from Russia. These are bad people. They are. Russia are bad people. But what about the American corporations and the Dutch corporations that are picking your pocket? Shell, Exxon, Texaco. Oh, what about them? You see what I'm saying? So each country has to work within their own national interests. Let America fight Russia. And if Russia has some oil to sell, and don't say, oh, well, the blood of Russia is on your hands. No, the blood of Panamanians who can't afford the oil and go starving, it's on your hand, American corporations. That's the truth, Ruth. That is the truth. So that's the answer to that, brother Reynolds. Okay, let's see what we got here. Para ver, late here, Melanie Keelan is in the house, and we have Lee Grant says Biden's open border policy has been destructive, and of course, you know, Rudnick tore that down already because that's a fallacy. Tom C. says that Eric Hayes, the Biden administration takes responsibility and action on current U.S. problems. The GOP says the blame game against the Dems and doesn't propose or do anything constructive. If you ask Eric Hayes, what's a Republican policy to solve any problems if they get into power? Eric Hayes could not mention one other than to say, drill, baby, drill. He used that a couple of days ago. Drill, baby, drill. You know, that's your solution to everything. Drill, baby. It's such a childish position, right? Drill, baby, drill. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if you cause earthquakes. It doesn't matter if you pollute the water. None of that matters. Because the rich people, they get potable water, and the rest gets whatever's there. All right, let's continue. Maywood, welcome aboard, and thank you for wishing me a happy birthday, Maywood. That was last week. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate it. Tamasina Covell. Tomasina Covell, welcome aboard. Until those right wings are forced off the list of living, there's nothing they're going to allow to change. No. Look, let's separate them, Tomasina. Tomasina, I want you to hear me well. Your right-wing friends and probably some of your right-wing brothers and sisters and relatives, love on them. I'm talking people. I'm not talking politicians here. And I genuinely mean this, folks. Tomasina, embrace them. If you had a daughter with pneumonia that cannot get up and do what they need to do, that's correct. If you have a son that's autistic, you're not going to throw any of these people to the curb. You know that they're sick, and you're going to hold on to them. Love. I am telling my right-wing brothers and sisters, as you may think it's hubris. You may think you think you know everything. None of that is true. None of that is true. All is true is that your ideology that you've been made to believe was humane and good is evil. I understand that you cannot see it right now, and I won't hate you for it because I understand the technology that was used to mess with your mind. And I understand what parts of your mind is hard to get by. So to my good friend Tomasina, my new good friend, given that you're now a part of PDR Posse, please, love on them and don't wish them well. Now, wish the politicians off this planet. Yes, we don't need them. They're the evils. They're the one that the plutocracy drives to do the evil for them. Anyhow, let's continue. I don't know what dig means, Tomasina. I hope it's a good word. I think it's dig or D-I-Q. I don't know what that means. Okay. Eric Hayes says, Egberto will disagree with you, Carl, on drugs. And I just did. You heard me disagree with him. Let's see what else I got here. China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, India, and others are extracting themselves from tyranny of the U.S. dollar and the international society of worldwide. Yeah, we don't. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I think no country needs to hold themselves hostage to another. So that's the fact. Norman Reynolds says, way to go, Carl. I think, though, that the Democratic leadership has brought into the existence of a both side narrative. Exactly right, Norman. Further, they are wealthy people in general and don't want and fight against any redistribution of wealth, which is the basis of government programs. You hit the nail on the head. AC Rodriguez says, legalize all drugs, regulations all will work. Just look at other countries around the world. And here, AC, I didn't even see that. I was about to call out Portugal. Come on, folks. I got me the smartest posse on the planet, man. Okay, continuing. Michael Rudnin said, Carl, thanks for the smile. Rudnin, are you ready to do your interview, Rudnin? Come on, Rudnin, are you ready? All right, let's see. And Bridge MCP. Bridge, we've had you on. I think I interviewed you once. I think you got interviewed once, Bridge, but if not, we got to do it again. And one time is not enough. Okay, let's see what else we have. Everett was there. You do Egberto respectfully. Okay, I don't know what we're talking about there, sir. But I imagine you'll tell me. Let's see. Noam Chomsky speech to 2022 World Social Forum video. That should be a good thing. Why should a state that has a surplus get federal funds? That means it wasn't necessary. Eric Hayes. No. Eric, listen to your thinking. You always talk about responsibility. Why should a state who has a surplus get federal funds? because those states who don't have a surplus decided not to tax their wealthy people and then go ahead and tell the rest of states, you guys are taxing wealthy people. You guys are taxing spend states. We are conservative states. We don't tax very high. So instead, we ask the blue states to send us their money. So Eric, the surplus in the blue states is because they work appropriately. The deficits in the red states is because you guys, we, the red states, decided that we were not going to pay our own way, that we were going to be welfare recipients. That's your answer. Again, no, you didn't expect that. I have to correct myself on my last comment. Despite what conservatives might think, if you've got a systemic problem, a sufficient investment of government spending, manpower and usually fixes it. Yep. John Smith says, only leftists would think that spending more on a system that is broken to begin with will fix it. Tell me what is broken. I can show you how you can use the money to unbroke a system. Unbreak a system, I think is the word. All right, let's continue reading. I've got to pass down some of you guys. Carl Cox says, Russia is not the only dictatorship. There are a lot more, exactly. All right, Alistair says, John Smith, the problem in our country can be fixed with funds actually going to fix them instead of pocketing of, oh man, exactly. AC Rodriguez says, sometimes it can be hard to stay connected to right-wing family members because of the things they say and do, but it is important to keep those personal connections with them. The rugged individualism and self-centeredness they ascribe to is what is making them sick. Giving them love and a sense of community with someone that does not agree with them can cure. I love you, AC Rodriguez. Exactly. That is what I'm trying to put out there, sir. Thank you, AC Rodriguez, or ma'am. I don't know if AC stands for a woman or a man. So you let me know if you're, it doesn't matter. Michael Rudnin says, hey, Alberto, you're pointing at one of the biggest faults with conservatives. You're small in groups. Conservatives are perfectly fine when spending on them and theirs, but they couldn't care less about the others. Exactly. All right, let's see what else I got here. Sister MCP. Yes, we want you, Sister MCP. Eric Hayes, it wasn't needed. Spending money that is not needed is just plain wrong. It is. Listen again. Eric, should we give it to people who refuse to charge what they're, who just want it to be on the dole, like Texas and Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana and Arkansas? Should we just give them welfare? I thought you guys like personal responsibility. Whatever happened to that? Anyhow, another video here. This one I want to show you is more local, but it applies generally speaking. It is about one of our local elections, and I would be remiss if I didn't go ahead and play that now. Check this out. Welcome to one more edition of Politics and Random. Alberto Willis, your host. Today, we have the honor of speaking to Indivisible President Daniel Cohen. Daniel, how are you doing today?
Pretty well, my friend. We're reaching the home stretch of a primary here. So
I understand. Excited. Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, the Democratic primary is sort of the most vibrant primary out there, and we would expect Democratic values to reign. When I'm here in DC hearing that we are having some issues in a few of our races, and it was brought to my attention the race between Leslie Briones and Ben Chao, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think this is something the voters need to know now. Somebody who's going to represent us has to represent our values.
I agree. So, you know, it's an interesting race from pillar to post because it originally had five, I believe, candidates, primary candidates, and now we're down to the last two, which, as you mentioned, is Leslie Briones and Ben Chao. And Leslie Briones has been backed by various politicians, by extremely wealthy donors, and has gotten a lot of money from county vendors as well, and also has gotten money from lawyers who practiced in her court when she was a judge, and some lawyers in whose favor she actually ruled as well. But in the last week, things have taken a turn because she put out an ad, a hit piece, basically, that not only placed Ben against a brick wall, like a brick prison wall, photoshopped him against it, but also doctored his face, his eyes, his nose, and his mouth. And it's caused quite an uproar. It's made national press at this point. The LGBTQ Victory Fund made a statement denouncing it. And finally, the GLBT Political Caucus made a statement denouncing it and calling for an apology. And the entire time, she's been defiant about it. She has said that first she blamed the graphic designer and said that the designer used a filter, and that when she was notified, then they took it down. But the problem with that is that, one, someone had to approve the ad in the first place, whether it was her or it was her multi-million dollar consultant. There was a lack of accountability on the campaign, and throwing the graphic designer under the bus, of course, is not exactly in line with democratic values, if you ask me. I think that a campaign worker is just doing what they're told. And if you're the candidate, then the buck stops with you. And that's what real accountability is. And two, it's pretty clear that the reason that she, when she said that she took it down because she was notified immediately, that what she's referencing is backlash. And so it's hard to say that somebody is doing something out of the goodness of their heart or doing something because they said, look, you know what, I made a mistake and it was the right thing to do to pull it down, when it was really a result of backlash. But furthermore, and more of a smoking gun to why that's not a real excuse and why that's flimsy, she put an ad with the same picture back up, within I think maybe an hour of pulling it down in the first place. The press releases they've put out have been nothing short of unhinged. Finally today, and this is breaking news, she said the words, "I apologize," but she returned to the same excuse. She started her apology by blaming the graphic designer, and she ended her apology by attacking Ben Chao. So when you issue an apology and you start off by blaming somebody else for your own misdeeds, and you finish by attacking the person that you're apologizing to, it's not really an apology at all. And here we are one day before the close of the polls and one day before Election Day. And this has become perhaps the defining issue of the primary fight for one of the most watched seats in the state of Texas, maybe even one of the more watched seats nationally now that the news is broken.
You know, what is sad is it seems like we have a few Democrats that are running that seem to think they have learned something from the right, something from the unhinged right wing. Hey, push people's racist buttons and it just may work. Unfortunately, this in this particular case, it just happened at pretty close to the election date. So it's imperative that those that haven't voted yet understand the message, because this is somebody representing your community. And if they're representing your community, you have to ask if they will allow something of this sort to go by, what else will they allow within their governance structure? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I 100% agree with you. And especially when somebody says, look, I'm taking accountability, doesn't take accountability, right? That they blame somebody on their own campaign. If they can't be held accountable as a candidate, how are we supposed to hold them accountable as a politician who has outsized power? The county commissioner seat is hugely powerful. And especially, I'll throw this last thing in too, it's AAPI Heritage Month. So to have missed this shows somebody who's so out of step with the voters. You know, it's 13% of precinct four is an Asian population, is the Asian, you know, the Asian population makes up 13% of precinct four, 13% of the voters in this precinct. So to have missed this does cast a lot of doubt on her ability to represent people.
But you know what else it also does, based on, by the way, this video is accompanied with a very well-written piece by yours truly, by you, and that we must get out there. I think there's some issues with competence when it comes to Ben Chao. You pointed out that maybe the reason why people sort of fear him, or the powers that be fear him, is because of what he represents. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, there's Briones was backed by commissioners. Briones was backed by a billionaire. She was the COO of the Arnold Foundation. She's raked in billionaire cash. And there's an establishment forming that wants some votes that they can bank on. And it's been that way in the county for a long time. Lena Hidalgo turned down vendor money and said that she would never take vendor money. And now, unfortunately for some of the commissioners that count on some of that vendor money as their gravy train, it's become a real campaign issue that from here on out, the way that people raise their money and who they're beholden to has become something that's front and center in the commissioner's fight. Ben Chao is the director of innovation at the county clerk's office when Chris Hollins, now mayoral candidate Chris Hollins, was the county clerk here in Harris County. He designed the blueprint for drive-through voting, and he was the person who made sure to follow through on it. And that has stirred up some concerns among those who are in the establishment that somebody who actually is going to push for voting rights, somebody who's going to shake things up, might end up on commissioner's court and throw a wrench into their easy gravy train day-to-day policy life. Basically, the reason that these ads are coming out attacking Ben is because Ben told the truth about the person he's running against, and the person he's running against doesn't like it. So now we're going to see whether or not the voters care about it the same way. And I think a lot of them do. And we're seeing that. And that's why there's been so much backlash.
Daniel Cohen, president of Indivisible Houston, believer in good, competent government. Thank you so kindly.
Thank you, Egberto. I appreciate you.
Egberto Willis, as host of Politics Done Right, a progressive radio media show on Pacifica Networks, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, that engages all ideologies, I found that our political angst isn't mostly ideological. There is a well-designed effort by many in power to control us. If we are at each other's throats, we are less likely to demand our economic and local wishes. In that light, I wrote three books. I wrote the first one titled, As I See It, Class Warfare, the Only Resort to Right-Wing Doom, to describe the entire economy in a manner we can all understand. It highlights why it was designed to pilfer most as it empowers a few, the chosen. The second book, titled, It's Worth It, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relatives, Friends, and Neighbors, take it to the next level. After understanding how the system pilfers, it is incumbent that we can speak to our peers to empower a change. The third book, How to Make America Utopia, Take Away the Economy from Those Who Rigged It, gives us a place to land. After learning about our economy that is dysfunctional for most and learning how to engage the other side, we point out what would make an economy that works for all. Each book stands on its own, but together they provide the full picture. Please consider getting one or more. You will undoubtedly learn, be entertained, and help us continue the mission with our blogs, articles, videos, and books. I'm Egberto Willis, as host. Absolutely so, folks. So please consider getting our books. By the way, you can become a part of our PDR Posse on YouTube. Click that join button if you're on YouTube. If you are not on YouTube, please go ahead and click this link, politicsunright.com/YouTube, politicsunright.com/YouTube. Also, before I forget, as Brother Tom just reminded me, this weekend it is, or rather on June 4th, it is going to be, what is it called again? On June 4th? Come on, help me. Ask Egberto anything on June 4th. So don't forget, folks, on June 4th, we're going to, oh, you know what? Let me, hold on a second. I'm going to put out a notice that instead of June 4th, it's going to be June 11th and hosted out of Houston, Texas, because that is the week that I begin to prepare to move back to our town. So, I'm going to put that out in a memo. And make sure all of you are aware of what we're doing, assuming that that's when we're going to move. So I'll let you all know that for sure. So thanks, but thank you so kindly for reminding me, Brother Tom C. Can't live without my posse, man. Can't live without my posse. Anyhow, continuing, folks, please consider supporting us by clicking that join button on YouTube. If you don't click that join button on YouTube, consider supporting us via PayPal. That is how we actually get things done. Look at the body work of Politics Done Right and Egberto Willis to see the amount of work that we make sure to go in. Are any of the books on audiobooks? All of the books are on audiobooks, sir. There's a support line for PayPal. If you want to get the audiobooks, you can start at politicsdoneright.com/books. You'll see the audiobooks in there. And here's the link, sir. politicsdoneright.com/books. They're all in the audiobooks. And let me tell you the great thing about this before I forget. Our audiobooks were done, one of our audiobooks was done by one of you in the posse. Who again? Norman Reynolds did one of our audiobooks. I did the other. Did I do both of the others? Yeah, I did the other audiobooks. And by the way, I need to let you know that one of our editors is also in the house, Bruce Pollard. So as you can see, we have support in all kinds of ways, financially, helping in other ways. I try not to ask folks to do anything because I can't really pay folks to do stuff. That's why I spend 16 hours a day working. It would be nice if we had a bigger support base. We have a large base. We have, if I were to count the amount of the thousands, and I'm not making that up, the thousands of people, actually hundreds of thousands of people that consume what we're doing, and that that doesn't even cover the folks that, you know, you get through the links, et cetera, et cetera. But this sort of a stuff is not, it's very hard to do. So again, please consider supporting us at politicsandright.com/PayPal. I just put that in there. Join by joining at either hit the join button on YouTube or go to politicsandright.com/YouTube. Alternatively, you can support us as well on our Patreon, politicsandright.com/Patreon. And by the way, sometime when I get back to Houston, we're going to have a fund drive, a GoFundMe, because guess where we're heading to? We're heading to Pittsburgh. Politics and Right is on Radio Row in Pittsburgh. And what we are going to do is I'll have some sort of perks for the people that support us, maybe direct links with people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when we go out there. So folks, please support us, politicsandright.com/PayPal. And yes, Eric Hayes, I am coming. We are going to have, for those people in Houston, meaning Eric Hayes, Norman Reynolds, Alistair Waters, Bruce Pollard, who else in the house is from Texas? Let's see. In my vicinity, I mean, close to me. I think Brother Lee Grant as well, right, Lee? You're in Houston, aren't you, Lee? And we're going to all meet and sit down and break bread, drink some coffee at Starbucks. I pay with my meagerness. I pay. Anyhow, folks, let's see what else we got here. Anyhow, so support us, please, as best you can. This is how we are going to make the change. This is how we're going to get the change. I need to give a big thank you to Brother Bruce Pollard. I just got sent my list of KPFT donors and noticed that you are on, sir. I cannot tell you how much appreciated you are for making sure that we can stay on air at KPFT as well. KPFT just got the new house. We're building it out. I don't know how far they are. I'll be out there to check things out. So KPFT is being built out in the new building. They're getting all the transmitters and all of that installed. I mean, not the, you know, the local transmitters and stuff installed right now. So again, support. That is how we're going to change the country. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right. And you guys know how I end this, baby. I am what? Out.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please, join.